Thank you, Charlie. It's good to get that update on HCJB in Ecuador. Some of you have been down there, so you're curious what's happening. And every time an organization changes its name and changes its direction, people think the other part died. And so it was nice because it's still going. We're just going, trying to change with the world. And the world is full of people who have never heard the gospel. And the reason they haven't heard the gospel is probably they can't get it on their radio, or they can't read it in a Bible, or they can't, there's not a Jesus film for them. Those are the three mass means of evangelism there are, and they can't do that. So then we have to figure out another way to do it, and that's what we're working on these days. Now, I'm very embarrassed to tell you, there is no market value for this bookmark. I know some of you took quite a few of them yesterday hoping to retire. And I'm sorry. I wish I could have provided that for you and you could have retired off of these, but they're just not there. So if you want to bring some of those back, you can. I could not believe that they all disappeared yesterday because I had like twice as many bookmarks as there were people. But I brought in some more. So if you didn't get... That was a loud awe, like a lot of you didn't get one. If you didn't get one, they're back there again. But no market value. Do not try to sell these on eBay. It would be embarrassing and painful for you to try to do that. Well, you have kindly asked, as you always do, about our family. So, Nora, are we... Okay, there we go. So, let me just give you a brief rundown, because our family has changed since the last time I gave this report. This, of course, is our oldest son. His name is Rich. He lives in London, England. He's been there for 27 years. He's a freelance journalist. He went over there because we needed to have radio trainers in Russia, Ukraine, Romania, Hungary, those places. And he did that for several years and lived in England. But then he trained people to do what he was training and then got involved with BBC and ended up as a freelance journalist in London, England. Next to him is Rhonda, our daughter. She lived to be 7, and then the Lord decided he wanted her. And so she has a better picture than that, but or she has an older picture than that, but that's my favorite picture of her. So when I think about Rhonda, which is very, very often, that's the little lady I see. Then our next child was Russ, this guy right there. He has been here at Maranatha with us. He has spoken with me. We've been able to double team. And his wife, Gina. Russ heads an organization called Extreme Response. You that come that week next year will find out about his organization, which is a ministry to the poorest of the poor. They look for people living in dumps and try to get them shoes and food and try to get their kids educated, and that's his passion. So he has ministry in 14 countries and lives in Southern California. Gina, his wife, is a family counselor, and her goal is to eventually counsel the leaders of the ministries that he's working with around the world because they have problems as well, and they don't have anybody to talk to. Then those are his three kids, three grandkids in Southern California. This guy is getting married next month. And I don't have a picture of Abby. I got to add her now. But he is he's the only Klein with a C in the line of Kleins. So there's a lot of pressure on him to keep this line alive. Actually, it's on Abby, I think. Isn't that the way it works? Or I don't know how that works. This little gal was born in Ecuador, so she's an Ecuadorian. We have one in our family. She just spent the last year down there working. This is our daughter, Lynette. She lives in Louisiana. Her husband, Louis Wayne, They live in Louisiana. That's where Lynette was born. And she was born in Louisiana before my wife ever got to Louisiana. Did you hear that one? That's a fun one. She used to tell that as a story. I was born in a state my mother has never been in. She's adopted. Come on, come on. You can work this out. Come on. So that's a fun story, fun part of her life. And these are her two daughters, both born in Japan while they were out there in the military. And they're both in Louisiana. And the champ himself, Noah. Our sound man is Noah back there, too. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. 4 years old, and he's also in Louisiana. He is the son of Hannah. So that's our family. And we actually all got together for the first time in many, many years, a month ago for our wedding anniversary, and the kids all flew in, and we spent about 4 days together, and it was just fun. When you raise kids internationally, then when they leave, they go different places. And some of them don't feel like they're American, so they don't have the same tie to stay in America. So we had kids go to London, England. Russ went back to Ecuador for 16 years. Lynette went to Japan. And Rhonda went to heaven. They all scattered. And okay. Ever feel like this? You're not quite sure which way to go. You're not sure where you're going to land. You're not sure when to get off and when to get on. You're not really sure what's going on. It just seems like you're hanging on for dear life. And I thought of this picture yesterday when we were talking about truth. Some of you shared some wonderful promises of truth with me after the message. Things that carry you through. You're in a situation like this. Something comes upon you and you're just not sure you're going to make it through it. You're hanging on for dear life, and God pops a truth into your mind. It's absolutely amazing. I mean, there the guy is. I don't know what he's going to do. I don't even know what the horse is going to do there. But something's going through his mind. And for us, sometimes it's that truth of Scripture that just carries us through the hard times, the days of evil, the schemes of the enemy, the reason we need the armor of God. Tell me some of your truths, some promises. Let's hear some of those promises I heard afterwards yesterday. I will never leave you or forsake you. What else? Even on a horse like that. That's amazing. Yes. Romans 12:12. What else? That would be a good one for this, wouldn't it? Climb on the heights. Get out of there. Over here. Some promise that you just hang on to, you like. Yeah. Boy, that would fit the sermon last night. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power. Sound thinking. Love. What else? Yeah. I want to encourage you to memorize some promises. You hear them, you kind of go, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'd really encourage you to maybe this year make it a goal to memorize 5 promises. Just find them in the Bible, things. Maybe you hear them here, maybe you hear them from other people, maybe preachers throw them out all the time, just lob them out there. My God will provide all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. What a great promise. Learn that so that when these times come, the truth sees you through. you remember this, and it sees you through. Like, I mean, our project is Togo. I know there are people in Togo who are saying, I wonder if they're really going to be able to help us. Wonder if they don't help us. How are we going to? And they're already working on plan B, plan C, plan D. But there's a fretting going on that is similar to this. Kind of like, what am I going to do? What are we going to do? Wonder if. I mean, we get into that all of the time. We live in this worrisome world, and that truth, that belt of truth is so valuable. And that promise, my God will provide all your needs. God will provide the needs we need for that radio station. 2 years ago, we came to you and said, hey, we need some money for some radio stations in Mongolia. And you provided abundantly. And we were able to respond quickly. And the first response was, whoa, we don't have enough people to run those radio stations. Well, then let's train those people. And you saw the picture the other day on Sunday of 33 people being trained to run radio stations in Mongolia. People whose hearts say, we want to tell our people, the people of our nation, about God and who He is. We want to talk about this. And we're willing to be trained so that we can do it. That promise is going to carry you through. In fact, on the bookmark, if you have a hard time remembering where those promises are, there's a whole bunch of them written on the back. And you can just grab any of those, but put them to memory. And not only what the words say, but where they are found. So that if somebody says, where is that? You can answer that question too. Okay? Okay. Today, anybody find truth up here? The word truth. Who can see truth and where it is? Who has it? Do you see it? Yep. Yep. All those words in there, and there's truth right there. Just tucked in. It's an important word, but it's not the most important word, although it is the first thing you put on, because if you haven't settled whether the Word of God is true, whether Jesus is all that He said He was, whether God really cares, if you haven't settled those things, then all the other armor is going to just slide around on you. So let's get that truth settled. The second piece of armor is righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness. So Paul says, therefore, put on the full armor of God, implying that maybe we haven't put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. And he says, with the belt of truth, which in my mind implies that I've already settled those issues, and with the breastplate of righteousness in place, which implies when the day of evil comes, the breastplate of righteousness is already in place. It's not something I panic and say, oh man, I got to get straight with the Lord so that He rescues me. It's already taken care of. So we come this week and say, let's make sure that it's taken care of. Now I know some of you say, I'm praying that my day of evil is behind me. I'm praying that the worst things in my life are behind me. Eh? You know, realistically? Yeah. In fact, the very fact that you are here, the very fact that you are breathing today means God is not done with you. He still has something for you to do. In fact, maybe your greatest moment is in front of you. Maybe the whole purpose for your journey is yet to be discovered. All of that stuff you've been through might be just so that you can do something that God created you to do tomorrow. Do you agree with that? So then you also have to agree that the devil's not done with you either. Right? Anybody off bounds for the devil? They have a little sign up, and he leaves them alone because they're too spiritual, or they've been through enough, or he's just found out that they can't be tempted with anything? No. So your day has still come. So let's make sure that breastplate is in place. The breastplate of righteousness. Satan attacks our hearts, our emotions, our self-worth, our trust. He wants to make us feel guilty, unworthy. That breastplate protects our heart. So Jesus said it all when he said, "Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Most of us have memorized that verse. We've got that verse down really pat. Timothy said, "But you, man of God," 1 Timothy 6:11, flee from all this and pursue righteousness. Proverbs says, "Whoever pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor." And of course, James tells us, 5:16, the prayers of a righteous man causes a lot of things to happen. Righteousness is a very important part of our life. And Jesus came along and said, "I want you to choose righteousness first. I want it to be the priority of your life. I want you to get up in the morning and think righteousness. I want you to come into encounters with people and arguments with people and discussions with people and think righteousness. I want you to face evil and think righteousness. I want you to seek first my righteousness." Now, we have a choice. We can seek it second. We can seek something else first. Pleasure. We can say, "I really want to seek being having fun first. Then I'll think about righteousness." I mean, after all, Sunday's only one day of 7 days, so maybe I only have to seek it seventh. I maybe have to seek satisfaction, comfort, success. I mean, I got a lot of things I can seek. And I think then the verse would have to say, "Well, seek second his righteousness, and some of these things will be added to you. Seek fifth his kingdom and his righteousness, and a few of these things will be added to you." I mean, you wonder why your prayers aren't answered. Maybe this could be the answer to that. You wonder why when you read the Bible, you don't really get it. It just doesn't say anything to you. It's kind of boring. Maybe this verse could be the key. I mean, you hear people talking about things that God has done. I mean, if you come to that seminar Michael's given on China, I don't know how much he'll tell you. We don't talk a lot about what God's doing in China because the Church of America kind of goes, "Huh? Wait a minute, how does that work?" I mean, it's just, they want proof. I don't tell the story much about the lady who went to Mecca with her husband. Finally, he never took her before. Went to Mecca for the pilgrimage. Of course, she was the last one on the bus because the men get on first, then the women get on. She's the first one off the bus because the women get off and then the men come off. But while she was standing on the bus, she happened to be standing up by the driver, and she was talking about how excited she was with the other women and how fortunate she was going to be to Mecca. She said, "Finally, I'm going to get to pray and God will hear my prayer." And the bus driver turned and said, "If you believed in Jesus, he would hear your prayer every time you prayed." Well, hearing that just shocked her. So she's standing off the bus waiting for her husband to get off the bus so she can tell him But that driver talked about Jesus and that he was necessary to hear them. That is wrong. Shouldn't be in this place. He should be arrested. She was really upset. But he was talking to other men and the bus left. When she finally got to tell him, he as well was really angry. And they went over to the bus terminal and they checked every driver. She could not identify the driver. He just wasn't there. She was so curious about that when she got back home. She heard that somebody knew about Jesus. So with great fear, she tracked him down. Could be a setup, could be a trap. She could be really punished. She tracked him down. They said, well, would you come by my house tomorrow? They were testing it as well because it could be a trap for them. And we'll talk in my home. When she walked in the home, she looked up at the wall and said, whoa, that's the bus driver. Picture of Jesus. Now, I don't tell that story in America because everybody wants to know which picture of Jesus. They're not excited about the fact, the story. Americans are so skeptical. God is wanting to do great things in our lives and great things. And some of us never see those great things because we haven't chosen righteousness. It's something you have to choose. It's a priority. You have to say, I want to do it Jesus' way. It's seek first. So that's what Jesus says. And he runs it this way. By the way, that woman is now broadcasting in Arabic for us. I will never tell you her name. The woman. Never show you her face either. The second verse that really rings true here is in Proverbs. Because this is related to this. If I'm going to do this, I have to do this. If I'm going to do this, I have to do this. Above all else, Solomon says, guard your hearts. That's where righteousness exists. Guard your hearts for everything, everything. Now, look at the verses. All these things, everything, they're all inclusive. If I don't seek righteousness, something is missing in my life. There will be a hole. And you know who fills that hole? The enemy of God. He will sneak in and fill it. We say, well, we really love the Lord, but we also love, those hot dogs are really good out there on the patio. I love hot dogs. We have so many things that can crowd in and get us. Seek first, guard your heart. Everything will be done for you. Everything flows from your heart. This is so important a concept that I have made it the center post of all the training that I do internationally. And I hate to tell you this, but I use America as an example. God has blessed us so much in America. If you haven't traveled outside America, you do not understand. This is the Disney World of America, of the world. God has blessed us. We have so many comforts, and it's really easy to begin to seek first something else than righteousness. Now, where these people live, they don't have much but God. And they have an advantage on us. And I share that with them because I want them to know that. It's almost a blessing of God that they're not distracted and confused by comfort and ease and the nicest new thing, more stuff. So these guys I get to be with every year. There's 50 of them. They come from 14 countries. They are the leaders of major ministries in their countries. They're all nationals, except for the teachers. And we go and teach. Chick-fil-A lets us use their training center down in Rome, Georgia. My son is the one that puts this all together with Extreme Response. And all of these guys have ministries around the world. We spend a day out of five talking about what we're talking about this morning. Because they're not going to be successful if they don't understand the premise. I don't understand why we think we can be successful in our Christian walk without understanding this premise. And here's the crowd in Mongolia that you made us set up because you gave us money for radio stations, and we had to train a bunch of people to run those radio stations. What a fun time. The warmest day was 30 below zero. It was just crazy. It was in November, December. It was just crazy. But a nice facility, and there we talk. Here's Steve Harding, our president, was there with us helping teach. He'll be the speaker with Reach Beyond next time. And one whole day out of five, starting with Barb teaching Nehemiah, we taught guard your heart. Guard your heart, guys. These people have grown up with atheism. They've only known atheism all their life. Their parents were atheists. They were not married when they became Christians, and then they found out, well, Christians should really be married. But the atheists never thought about marriage, so they got married. But some of them had children with non-Christians. They became Christians. Their spouse hasn't become a Christian. God called them to be a pastor. Can you imagine a pastor whose wife isn't a Christian? That's the world they live in. We talked about guard your heart. Year before that, we did the same thing in Indonesia. We had this crowd of people. What an amazing crowd of people. This is this guy's name. We called him Jack. He's down in Papua. What an inspiration to us. He's a guy who has guarded his heart. He came to know Christ as his Savior. He decided he wanted to tell his community. His community didn't want to hear it from him. They just really hassled him and persecuted him. And so he decided he'd get radio. So we put a radio station in Papua. And he started inviting listeners to his house. He didn't know you don't do this. He invited listeners, gave away his address. People started coming. He started having Bible studies. They would come all times of the day and in the evening, whenever they could come. He didn't say it's going to be at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You and I, you know, we got Bible study at 7 and it's over at 8:30. I mean, that's the way it is. But he didn't know. He didn't know. He just was so in love with the Lord, and he just wanted to tell people about the Lord. And so they started coming to his house. And pretty soon they were coming to his house every day. Pretty soon he had to move out of his house. And he's living in just a shack because his house has become a gathering place. And he is so excited about that. I tried to think of anybody I knew who would do that. All these things will be added unto you. God's taken care of him. He's got so much joy. Year before that, we were in Nepal teaching the same thing to a group. Here's this group up here. There are people who came out of Hinduism, so superstitious, so afraid of everything. They're just afraid of moving because the gods attack them from all angles. And we're talking about guarding your heart from that superstition and fear. It's a whole education for them. They have to be, you know what? They have to be new creatures. Does anybody, does that sound familiar to anybody? Anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. That's where we start, and then we talk about guarding your heart. Folks, we can't talk about anything less than that with you. Satan wants you to fail. He doesn't want you to do some hideous sin. He just wants you to do nothing. Don't seek righteousness. So, let's do a little heart exercise. One, let's learn to love God every day, all day. Let's learn to love Him all day. Matthew 22:34. A rich man says to Jesus, Teacher, what's the greatest commandment of all? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first commandment. And the second is love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. So I want to talk about three things. One, when you're alone, driving your car, taking a shower, sitting in the backyard under a tree, taking a walk, spend that time loving God. Just focus on loving God. Love Him all day long. Just, what can you do? Can I sing some songs? Can I quote some verses? Can I just pray and talk to Him? Focus on loving God when you're all alone. When you're with people, focus on loving people. Focus on loving people. When you're in a group, kind of look around the group and say, how can I love these people and they know it? How can I show them that I love them? Love people you disagree with. Love those people that used to go to your church and quit going because they got mad about something and now they're going someplace else. Or they're still there and you left, but you're not talking to them anymore because you disagree about something. Love those people. Love your neighbor who maybe doesn't appreciate your faith and doesn't support it and endorse it. Love people. When you're with people, not only love them, but build the relationships. Do you have any relationships that are broken? People that you don't speak to anymore? Well, how about repairing those? That's guarding your heart. Get that stuff out of you. Take care of it. Love God all day. Not just during your quiet time. Not just when you're listening to a program or a podcast. Not just during your devotions. Love God all day. Even when you're with people, you can love God. Two, treasure God. Yesterday we talked about it a little bit. Some of us have habits. We've been working on that habit for a long time, but it just keeps coming back. It's not bad, and nobody in this room knows about it. But there's just something inside of us that we wish we didn't have it anymore. Has it gotten to the point where it's the treasure, or where it's the habit, or Jesus? Has it gotten where He's offended when you are involved in this habit? Well, then, which one do you seek first? Are you willing to seek Him first, to treasure Him above the habit? Or are you saying to Him, you know, I'm going to exercise my right to have this habit that doesn't hurt anybody. It's just something that I know is kind of ugly and I'd be embarrassed if people knew about. But I can't help myself and I like it. And it makes me feel a certain way that I like. Therefore, Jesus, you go away for a few minutes while I exercise my habit. Is that where we are? Or do we treasure Him more than? Remember the bracelets we used to wear? What would Jesus do? You ever ask the question these days? How about what would Jesus not do? I know those are too many letters to put on a bracelet, but I mean, think about it. What would Jesus do? We treasure God enough to not do what Jesus would not do? I know people say, well, why don't you be like Christ? That's good. I like that. And that is enough to try to do that. But how about not doing things that you know Jesus wouldn't do. Treasuring him enough to always seek what he would do first. Treasure God. You know, when you put on the breastplate of righteousness, that's a pretty big thing that people see on you. It's a big weapon that Satan recognizes on you. It covers your heart, which is the very source of your life, of who you are. It protects you. So you shouldn't be ashamed to have other people see that breastplate of righteousness that, hey, I just want to be like Jesus. In fact, I'm hoping that when we leave this conversation, you would actually wonder, man, what makes them so different? They're like nobody I know. Maybe even they would say they're kind of like Jesus. Ever had that happen? What a gift, a compliment, that people would see us like Jesus. There's one more. Mark 2:8. Immediately Jesus, aware in his spirit that they were reasoning that way within themselves, said to them, "Why are you reasoning about these things in your hearts?" This actually came out of the program of training with those guys that I showed you first, the 50 guys from 14 countries. We had a question time, and we got on the conversation of secrets. Wouldn't it be cool if we had no secrets? We know from that verse that God knows everything about us. We cannot have secrets from God, even though we pretend to have secrets from God. We actually sometimes think that he doesn't notice or see or hear, which is sitting here and thinking about it, we realize how silly that is, because he sees everything and hears everything. So we can't have secrets from God, but we have secrets from each other. Why? Why, if we're brothers and sisters in Christ, members of the body of